announcing from every hilltop the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we're continuing our study here on the Spirit-filled man and considering what the Lord has designed. And yesterday, I left off with the subject here and having us think about how the Lord Jesus Christ has shown us what the true Christian man should look like. Remember what Jesus said when Philip had asked Jesus to show him the Father, and Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, that you've not known me? He who sees me sees the Father." Jesus shows us the Father. We learn about the Father through the person and the work of Christ. So as they are one, this is what we see. This is what we see, how the Father has been to us. We see that in the way that Jesus has sacrificed himself for us. And when we study the work of Jesus, there's no place better to go and to think about this as we look at the whole of his ministry, in the way that he performed that ministry and how he sacrificially gave himself. He's nothing like the men of this world today. This kind was the kind of man who brought about submission and response in his bride through love and nurture. What was he like? Well, he comes here and he absolutely refuses to take a seat in Jerusalem. He was a servant. He didn't come throwing around his power. He didn't come telling everyone how great he was. He didn't try to get the highest seats nor wear the best robes. In fact, this man made himself a servant, bending down to wash the feet of filthy sinners. That's a man. Worked hard with his hands. Before his public ministry, he was a carpenter, worked with wood, giving himself to provide for others. And through his ministry, all he cared for was people. He had appointments to keep. He had to do the will of the Father, and he never would depart from it. He was honest. He was hardworking. He was pure. He was trustworthy. He had compassion. At the death of a loved one, he wept. That's a man. Oh, how he cared for the truth. He was not passive. He was not about peace at all costs. He was about the honor of his Father's name, the protection of his bride, the church. In fact, one day, he saw the house of his Father being made into a den of thieves. They were completely polluting the house of the Lord to the detriment of people's souls. He didn't say, "Oh, I just don't want to offend anyone." He wasn't so charitable to think that everything in God's name is okay. He goes away. He makes a whip of cords, and he overturned tables, whipping and cleansing the very temple, saying that this house shall be a house of prayer. He confronted his family members for not believing. He rebuked loved ones for compromising the truth. This was a man. He cared. And most of all, he went forward to sacrifice his life because he had love for his spiritual children. That love drove him. He was so manly, he went to death for his bride. He became a curse. For what end? That he might present to his Father his bride beautiful, without spot, washed, sanctified by the truth, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He nourished his bride. He fed his body. He cared for his body. When did Christ ever run away from his people? In fact, he always wanted to encourage, and still to this day, he always wants to encourage us with his love. He always sends his gospel preachers to give us his message. He tells us that he's coming for us again. He tells us that he's always with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. His whole life was given to help and serve and deliver us, all with the goal of glorifying God, and never once did he depart from that responsibility. What a man of God. Listen, if you've ever been abused, by earthly father. You can't push that on Christ. He's the answer. As a believer, now here's the point. As a believer, you are a recipient, if you're a man, of that kind of love. And here's the thing then, husbands. When we are not men defined for us as Christ has defined it, trust me, it's not about position, it's not about authority, it's not about money. When we're not men, if we call ourselves Christians, do you see what we're marring? The very essence of our calling as Christian husbands is to model the love that we have received from Christ in the way that we love one another, especially our wives and families. That means that when we abandon our roles as men, when we do not lead in the home, when we're not involved in the church, when our priorities are all wrong, you know what happens? When the household is disintegrated with bad leadership, absent fathers, we are completely attacking the very thing we are called to represent. God Himself as a loving, caring Father to us. You ever wonder why some women grow up and really struggle with the concept of God as a father? It's because they've experienced complete neglect from their earthly one, who often claimed to be a follower of Jesus, a follower of the Heavenly Father. And you can only imagine the confusion and just disorientation that results. When the Christian family is disintegrated for a lack of leadership, you know what also disintegrates? It directly affects people's perception of God's family, and it wrecks the whole model of what the church is to be. Look at how fragmented the church is today. You ever notice how segregated and separated out we all are by age group? You know why that is? It's because families are completely fragmented. I mean, that's our conviction here in the Linden URC, that what we do as a family. We sit together and worship as a family. We don't send our kids out of worship. We do this as a family, with fathers leading and nurturing and sitting as a communion of families. How do we fix the mess today that we're in? Well, the short answer to that is to be completely renewed in our understanding of how great the Father's love is for us, and how that was demonstrated in the sacrificial love of Him giving His Son that we might become adopted sons by grace. You see, dear listener, when we understand and have faith in that kind of love, when we know the love of Christ which surpasses all understanding, it can't help but to rock our worlds enough for fathers to begin to lead. If they're really saved, how could they not? They have souls placed under their authority. They're going to give an account. And because of that, they understand that being welcomed into the family of God, a great responsibility is given to love and exemplify that love as they have received it, as fathers have received it from God Himself. Here's the challenge. Get a whole bunch of real men today who have priorities right. And you know what I'm going to see? Put that all together in a church, I'm going to see a lot of Christ in that place. And that church is going to make a big change in society. It's the gospel that drives us, dear listener. It's the gospel that changes us. May the Father's love for us drive us to be real men and how we reflect that love to those who are put under our authority. It's a big calling, a big responsibility. And that's what the New Testament is constantly showing us. That's why the New Testament gives us more than a few passages to speak to the importance of how the husband is now to interact and treat his wife. Peter gives a short exhortation to the men. Here is verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, likewise, dwell with the women with understanding. That is one of the most fascinating little verses that captures, in a nutshell, the struggle in the home. The word here for understanding is gnosis, which means knowledge. That the husband, contrary to what he's prone to do, is now called to dwell with his wife in an understanding way. Our responsibility as husbands is to know our wives, to spend time with them, to understand what they are facing, being interested in them, what they're going through. This is really important. Why is he saying that? Well, he goes on to say, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I'm always moved by that last little statement. There's a direct connection to the prayerful man, communion with Christ, and the way that he honors his wife. Now, I'm going to unpack that, but I want us to think about exactly what the Lord is teaching us here. What is the Lord calling the man to? We have to dwell with our wives with understanding. What is that? Why understanding? It's because of her struggle. Peter calls her the weaker vessel. What does he mean? We can't say that she's weaker just in terms of her being or ability. Spiritually, Peter says that she is an heir together of the grace of life. A lot of commentators believe it's talking about the woman's physical weakness in comparison to the man's. That's certainly part of it. But the answer should begin by asking the question, why does he tell the man to dwell with her with understanding? This is so important, and this is what I want to have us begin to think about today as men. The man has to have an intimate knowledge of his wife, what he has been given from God. He really has to invest time to know her person. That's what this is all at all presupposes, that he is really investing time to know the one that he has become one with. He has to know his wife personally, to know her makeup, her attributes, her character, her nature, how all of that functions in light of what she's fighting against due to the curse. What do I mean? Well, this goes back to last week. Man struggles with a lack of leading, and the ground was cursed. He is called to return to godly leadership. But remember what the woman struggles with. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's the same construction when speaking about the sin with Cain. Sin's desire shall be for you, but you should rule over it. The woman struggles with her position. She struggles with what God has called her to be as a godly woman. If you don't believe that, look at the feminist movement. Go back and listen to what I outlined last week. History has proved this. History has validated this. And here, Peter is calling Christian men to dwell with their wives with understanding, to be sensitive to them, to lead them, to care for them, to love them. And that kind of sacrificial love promotes her willful submission as unto the Lord. I know this is shocking stuff today in our culture. In fact, it's so shocking. I think in some ways it must just sound radical, you know? That just shows you how much the culture has shifted and attacked satanically the design God has given. You know, I said last week, do you really think society's way is working? Be honest. Do I need to go through the stats again? It's not working. In fact, we're digging ourselves deeper and deeper. As our society disintegrates, it's because the family has disintegrated. We have to listen to God again. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How do I do that? You give yourself sacrificially to make her beautiful and radiant to the glory of God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught, 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.